Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Weird Norfolk. I'm Shifa from the Norfolk Folklore Society.
And I'm Stacia from Weird Norfolk.
And so you've noticed that our intro has changed.
That was really awkward. And there's been a little bit of a gap between recordings.
Yeah. So we did record an episode. I don't know really how to start this. Like, it's really complicated.
So
but
much
also
has
really
happened
easy.
And yet so little.
So I no longer work at the Eastern Daily Press and Norwich Evening News. I have moved on. We recorded an episode in my last week of working for Archon, but I think you could probably tell that I was in a bit of a grump. So we're going to re-record that episode.
Yeah.
And that's why we've had a bit of a break, yeah. Basically, because I wasn't in a great place for recording podcasts.
But now we're back.
We are back and excited, yes. And have lots of interesting projects.
We do. Absolutely. We've got an incredible Weird Norfolk project, which is going to launch around Halloween,
yep.
Haven't we?
Yep.
And Shifra's new project. Just tell us a little bit about that.
So I've kind of got two new projects. Mm-hmm. So my first one is I set up the Norfolk Folklore Society, mm-hmm. which I can't... Well, I've been thinking about doing it for quite a long time, but I felt it was a bit of a conflict of interest. It just didn't feel right. And I was kind of always hoping someone else would do it, so yeah. I didn't have to. But no one did.
The effort, yeah.
No one did. So I am going to be working with Arboretum on St. Benedict Street.
Amazing.
And we're going to host monthly talks. Although it's called the Folklore Society, like the Norfolk Folklore Society, it's going to be all different 14 topics.
Yeah.
I just...
Give us an idea what kind of thing.
So the first talk is going to be with Val Thomas. She's just lovely. So she's going to... I don't know what she's going to be talking about, but she is going to be talking about something witchy.
Yeah.
Then we've got someone from Gresson Hall talking about Norwich, the Gresson Hall Apple Day.
Fantastic.
Which will be really interesting.
Lovely.
Then I've got in line people to talk about paranormal investigations. I'm hoping, even though obviously I'm not keen on UFOs, as everyone knows, other people are. So I would really like someone to come to talk about UFOs.
Tony might come.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Victorian graveyard symbolism.
Oh,
so someone's coming to talk to us about that. Oh, another person from the Pagan Moot, Chris Wood, is going to be talking about our connections with John Dee and all that kind of stuff.
So exciting. So, yeah. And what's your other project?
So the other project is...
I say that like I don't
know.
Yeah,
like you
like
never,
a proper
like
journalist.
I haven't told you.
So tell me about your other project that I know everything about.
So I am starting work with Shook, which is Shook Zine, which mm-hmm. is a local zine. And it's just brilliant. Like, I absolutely love
Shook
it.
Zine.
Yeah. It was, again... Something that I was approached about when they first started, but working for the EDP, it was definitely a conflict of interest.
Yeah, definitely.
And so I had to turn it down. But when they found out that I was no longer working, they approached me again. And so...
It's like, I do love Shug, and it's kind of like it's a small zine, isn't it? And it's packed with kind of things like stories about... I think the first one was about Shuck, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it's himself.
So, yeah, the Shuck
our
was
favorite.
The dark.
Yeah.
And that was, Shuck, the actual creature, was like kind of the main focus of that one.
Yeah.
And the most recent one is The Deep, which is just...
What kind of things are in it?
So there's spells, talking about Hayes Bratorso, that's the cover image, which was a bit like, when we looked at that cover for a cover, I was a bit like, is this a bit gory? But bit gory. Everybody loves it.
I tell you what, he is terrifying, isn't he? Well, yeah. We've spoken about him before, and my time at a traffic light where I thought that he was coming for me. but yeah, and I have seen it. I have bought it.
Yeah.
So it is incredible. So that's really exciting. But you're still coming back for the podcast. And of course, Weird Norfolk is still in the EDP. I'm still loyally plugging away. And I've got kind of a list of stuff coming up. We've got an incredible investigation coming up on Exchange Street. Absolutely terrifying.
See, this is exciting though, because I'm not doing it for the paper anymore. I send them to you before, and it's like, I don't know what it's going to be.
And I hope, Stephen, I never see it in the paper. I'm awful, I never buy the paper. But I always use the joint byline that we had before, so hopefully it is still going in. But I've got a chap came to our Facebook group and gave us an incredible story about a ghost or a happening, a dark entity on Exchange Street. And when I looked into it, I asked if anybody else had had anything on. And there's about three or four on Exchange Street, same area. So I've kind of gone into it. I've deep dived into it. So that's coming out. So we've got some great stuff. And obviously, you know, Schaefer is my number one. Is my dark sidekick, so is always involved in everything that we do.
And it's quite, I think we'll still use the topics that you've picked for the podcast.
Yeah.
But it'll be just really, in a way, it's kind of more interesting because I won't have had any pre, like, or you will have already done all your research for the features.
So then you do your
own. So then I'll read your story and then I'll go off and, like, do my own. Whereas it used to be, like, a combined...
Yeah, and kind of researching everything we do is always interlinked, isn't it? I kind of think at the very beginning when Shuckzine started, I remember they asked us, didn't they, for a couple of bits of information.
Yeah.
And we helped them out. And so, you know, it is all of us dark creatures of the night in Norfolk do... tend to congregate together as we hang upside down in our barn in the daytime, don't we? So I suppose we better get to business.
Yes, yes, yes.
Which is the delightful tale of the Corpusty corpse that rose to greet his sister. Do you know, every time I think of Corpusty, it's a bit like Pouring Land when they add a little bit to the sign and make it Boring Land. This is, I have a picture of me standing next to this sign when it was Corbusty. So whenever I think of Corpusty, I think of Corbusty.
I was telling someone at my new job about this.
This case.
I've started to let them know that I'm weird, and they're very accepting. It's fine. And the person that I spoke to, they said, surely there's some kind of pun around corpse.
Yeah, corpse, pusty, and pus. Yeah, oh, Jesus.
Which kind of does go work with
it
the story.
Does work
doesn't
with
it?
The story, yeah. So this is a tale. So I'll read you the first bit, which is at the strike of midnight, the gravedigger prized open the lid of the coffin that contained the recently buried body of a man whose sister stood before him. Desperate for one last glance at her brother, whose funeral she'd been forced to miss, as earth was brushed away and the lid moved to one side, she was once again face to face with the man she'd grown up with, and she realised in a second that one must always be careful what one wishes for. So tell us a bit more about this.
Yeah, so it was recorded in Enid Porter's book from 1974.
Hashtag legend.
Yeah, the folklore of East Anglia. And she was told the story by the cousin of the deceased in the tale. So... I don't know if I just assume everyone knows who Enid Porter was, because she's like such a legend.
Yeah.
In folklore circles.
Yeah.
But just in case anyone doesn't know who Enid Porter is, she
first check yourself.
Yeah.
Because you should.
She did like just an amazing job of preserving the folklore and customs of East Anglia. So not just Norfolk. It was Cambridgeshire. I think Essex maybe as well, Suffolk, Norfolk, you know, all over the place. She was the curator at the Cambridge and County Folk Museum, which is now the Museum of Cambridge, which we really need to go to
really
because
do.
They've got like a mandrake there and stuff.
I know. So, when I was looking at this, I remembered that and thought, why have we not been?
I don't know why we haven't been.
But it's a fail.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It's not even that far away.
There's a whole list of places I've worked out that we should go that are really close as well that is a fail that we have not been to. But anyway,
we'll, to be fair, COVID has been an issue recently.
Has been, I believe so.
So it's only really now that we can start making these sorts of plans. Yeah. Anyway, so she was the a curator there from 1947 to 1976, which was a good long time. She obviously loved it there.
Newer stuff.
And while she was there, she really kind of... So she wasn't just kind of instrumental at recording folklore. She also really wanted to change that kind of perception. Well, it was more than just a perception. Museums were very elitist.
Yeah.
It was only a certain type of person that went there, and she was really instrumental in kind of changing that so that they were more for the people.
Yeah.
Which I think is just wonderful.
Yeah.
She passed away in 1984, and the notebooks where she collected the folklore that she'd found, they're actually in the museum now. Mm. So there's a project called the Ina Porter Project, which sounds like a band's name or something. and you can view some extracts from her notebooks on
I think some of her work was published posthumously, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it must have been.
As I recall. Because I think she was in the middle of another book when she passed away. So.
Yeah.
So she wrote about this, a macabre tale was told in the last 19th century of a man who died in Corpusty in Norfolk. His sister, unable to attend his funeral, bribed the gravedigger to open the grave at midnight so she could see her brother once more. When the coffin lid was raised, the dead man's body grew very large, floated up like a ghost, groaned hoarsely, and collapsed.
Delightful.
So, I mean, you know, I suppose... And I don't like to let fact piss on the chips of wonder. But
you did a swear.
I did a swear, but not a bad one. I mean, I would I let a child say
to
that one.
I don't think
I'll
be able to edit that one out either.
Okay, can we leave that one in?
I think
if you're really upset, if you're really upset by that word, I really apologise. I just couldn't think peed on the chips. Anyway,
it doesn't sound as good.
I'm sure that you two have gone into the delightful research of what happens when a body.
My search history is looking quite questionable right now.
Do tell.
So, I mean, to be fair, like, when I read it, I think when I first saw it, I thought it was going to be, like, a ghost story. And then when I obviously read through the rest of your thing, I was like, it's not really a ghost story. Because I feel like, well, firstly, they said, like a ghost.
Yeah.
So I don't think they thought it was a ghost. But I was like, is this even possible? Like... How would someone's, like, body rise up? So, obviously, yes, I did start looking into what happens when your
Tell
body...
Tell us what you found.
So the body groaned, and I think it's fairly common knowledge to people like us that bodies, after you die, they can make groaning noises.
Mm.
And in your story, you pointed out, especially if kind of medical...
Like, apparently if you have CPR, this groaning can go on for quite some time because it's the air, really. Can you imagine? It's the air being released. So that's unlikely to have happened in this case, I guess. But still, those gases in the body, they need to go somewhere.
Yeah. So I was a bit drawn to bloating.
Yes. So was I.
So bloating is the second stage of decomposition, and I think it can start happening 3 to 5 days after death. And so basically what happened, this is really gross, people, so
if you're eating, probably don't eat right now. We've got loads of snacks in front of us.
I know.
This may be the way to stop us eating them. Carry on. It won't be, will it?
So this is, I'm just reading a little bit that I got from a website because this is a bit sciencey for me. Okay, ready?
Ready.
Stage 2, bloating. As bacteria multiply and process bodily materials, they produce gases such as methane, carbon dioxide, nitrogen and hydrogen sulfide, which bloat the body. These gases build up pressure in the body and push fluids out through the natural openings, including the mouth, nose and anus.
Yes.
So this kind of starts to happen 3 to 5 days after death, possibly longer if the body is cold. Why I'm kind of in this questioning voice is that I'm aware that in Victorian times, well, all through history, people have held wakes. And in Victorian times, I think wakes were about 4 to 5 days long. So if the body started bloating before it went into the coffin, I don't know if we would have had this situation.
Right.
So I'm wondering if it was winter.
Yeah, so cold.
So a four-ish day... The trouble with this story, there's no other information, so this is, again, wild speculation.
Yeah.
But if it was a wake that was 3 to 4 days, the body, and it was cold, the body might not have started actually bloating until it was in the coffin. Well, it would have been in the coffin anyway. Would it have been in the coffin at the wake?
Yeah, it would have been in the coffin. Probably in the coffin. To be able to afford to have a gravedigger to disinter your relative, I doubt this is somebody, this is not dirt poor.
No.
And that gives more credence to the idea that there may have been a wake, because I would imagine if you were poor, you were pretty much just poured into a hole and that was it.
Mm.
And you would have gone in a shroud.
Do you think that would have been in Victorian time? Because this was Victorian... This would have been around...
I don't think you'd have had a coffin if you were poor in Victorian times. Okay. You'd have gone in quickly in a shroud.
Okay.
Because coffins are expensive, aren't they? This is definitely in a coffin, this corpse. Yeah. So yeah, they can afford a coffin.
And like you said...
And they can afford a proper burial.
They can afford a proper burial and they can afford to bribe someone
to dig that person up. Yeah.
So we'll assume that they had a 3 to 4 day wake. I'm going to assume it's winter.
Mm-hmm.
They put the coffin in the grave.
Cover it up.
Body starts to decompose. I guess because it's probably a bit warmer underground as well. So then the bloating kicks in. The coffin, the body starts to bloat. The gases build up. Dig it up. Whip the top of the coffin off. And he pops out. And I'm thinking, is the popping out?
I'm thinking of the bit in Jaws here where the head comes out of the boat.
You know,
that's the feeling I'm getting here. But it does say rises up, doesn't it? But I've got this bit here which is saying that the body can double in size.
Well, this is what I'm thinking. We're basically having the same thought, I think. Is if the coffin was quite small, because the body was, obviously they've put it straight in. If the coffin was quite small and then the body has doubled in size, is that like...
A bit like a proving loaf.
Yes, yeah. And so then you take the lid off and it kind of just bursts out. So I feel like floating might have been...
A bit of an over-exaggeration.
Yeah.
And he would have been wearing white, wouldn't he? And there was also the revolting details of, as you said liquids coming out, but blood-containing foam leaking from the mouth and nose, eyes can protrude... Tongue may be forced out of mouth. I mean, you can just see
it's quite an extreme horrendous bloat.
Yeah. And then after a month, even worse, the body would swell until it actually bursts. Mm. And that is the kind of, that's the when decomposition really kicks in.
So this, she dug him up before that.
It says a matter of days, doesn't it? So
I think he would have been in full bloat at this point. Awful, but you can understand where the stories of like vampires and stuff come from with this.
Because
if you opened a coffin and someone is looking very well kind of fed and then they're like almost like rising up.
But I
couldn't find any examples of this documented, not this rising from the coffin.
I mean I was kind of looking into the whole business of burial and how it works. And I guess this idea is so odd that she wanted to see him one last time, because it's not like she wouldn't have known what happens to... Everyone knows what happens to a body, and they 100% would have known this in those times, because you just would. There isn't anybody that doesn't know that a dead body... I suppose what I'm trying to get at is we have these ceremonies and we have these kind of... the way that we deal with dead bodies, and whether you believe in God or whether you believe in an afterlife or not, there's still a lot of ceremony and great care taken, and you are returned to the elements in some way. You're either buried earth, you're cremated fire, you're buried at sea, or even in some religions you're left on the mountain, to kind of air And you kind of think that, I think that that's our part done, that we respect the dead, we remember them, and then their job is to kind of, keep there and stay in their world and not. So for somebody to actually, it just seems a very weird thing.
That it makes you wonder why she wanted to go and.
It's just, I mean, it makes you wonder if she wanted to make sure he was dead.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah.
Is it like that?
There's something else going on here, and it wasn't so much as. It wasn't so, or she didn't believe he was dead for some other reason, either a completely innocent reason, like, you know, your brother's died and you think, well, he can't have, or the reason given for him dying seems so unlikely and you're kind of, right, well, you know, you couldn't take a picture, could you? You know, so to prove that he was dead, or you want to make sure he's dead because he's a wrong one.
Well, this is like, it's frustrating that there is so little with this. Yeah. Like, I wish Enid had recorded the cousin's name, because at least then we would have had like a clue as to who it is, because we don't even know. Although, are the gravestones still at Corpusty? Because wasn't there that gravestone art installation?
Corpusty is really interesting, isn't it? So it's kind of when you drive from Norwich to Holt, you get to Corpusty, and there's a kind of steep hill, isn't there, down into the valley and then back up towards Edgefield.
I've never been to Corpusty.
You will. I have literally driven you through Corpusty.
Okay.
You just haven't.
I just didn't. We were probably talking.
Just didn't look. next time we drive you through, I will say, look, it's Corpusty. So as you go into Corpusty, on the hill, there's. In fact, we should say which church it is, shouldn't we, really? It is.
I have got that written.
Is it St Peter's? It's St Peter's, and it's quite a lonely church. It used to have a track that ran down to the village. It used to serve quite a large area. It's now redundant. In fact, the nicest thing about Corpusty Church is that it sparked the creation of the Norfolk Churches Trust, which now preserves these buildings. So it was the first one that made people say, right, we need to preserve these churches. So there are still gravestones there. A lot of the stuff inside the grave, inside the church, and in fact, the next story I did about Corpusty, which was pretty much the next week because I found it at the same time, is about a ghost carriage, which maybe we'll look at another time. But, it's kind of like this lonely church on a hill in the middle of nowhere. The graveyard is still there. As you just pointed out, there's like an art exhibition there at the moment. Or there's, it's a lovely idea. They got artists to create memorials to
I'd
nobody.
Love to do that.
And then they're placed there. So we were going to record this, but it's too damn
really hot.
This is not the, you know, I was thinking today, it couldn't be a less spooky time to record.
No. Although we are sitting in a room with the curtains closed.
To be fair, I always have the curtains closed in this room. It is like, in fact, this room is ready for a laying out.
It's lovely. It's lovely and cool in here.
Yeah. I keep one room so that my undead friends can pop over and not feel unpleasantly warm. If there was a corpse in here, it would probably not, you know, bloat as fast, would it?
No.
Which is good to know, isn't it?
That is reassuring to know.
Reassuring to know. but yeah, it's a lovely church, and it has got, and the graveyards are still there, so all the gravestones, so he could still be there.
Well, this is, it's like, it'd be interesting to go and have a look and, like, record those names.
Yeah. And see.
But then I don't know how.
It's not a big village, and it wasn't a big village then, so you are looking at only a handful of families.
Yeah.
But, it does sound. You can see how this kind of tale would have become far more in Corpusty. And Corpusty, of course, lest us not forget, in fact, it's my screensaver. They have a very famous bonfire parade there every year, and it's incredibly folk horror-ish. It's like they parade through and then they burn a guy. And I think in times gone by, it was even more folk horror-y. And the picture I've got, which I think is attached to one of the stories I wrote, so have a look.
I've shared that one on the Folklore Society.
It's a cracker,
Instagram.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a cracker. It's an amazing picture. It just looks like loads of really terrifying people walking through Corpusty.
Yeah.
So presumably it's that kind of village anyway. You can just feel how this tale.
It's interesting. These are just kind of things that I'm thinking as we're talking. It's interesting that the story hasn't become more embellished. Because it is a very straightforward. It says he rose from the grave like a ghost. They didn't say they saw a ghost.
No.
There's no extra, like,
no
spooky details. It's still, whereas with it being such a small community, you can imagine that story getting like really out of hand.
Mm.
But so it's but quite maybe, strange that it hasn't.
Maybe it did and it wasn't recorded.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, there is a whole load of lost folklore, isn't there, that we, yeah, we don't have access to.
I wonder if there's anyone who's lived in Corpus D for, you know, a really long time who has kind of come across the story and just
and
hasn't...
And it would be the kind of place in its position outside the village, you know, we don't find graveyards frightening. But I can feel that if you did, this one might be, because it's so out of the way. Mm. It's surrounded by nothing, you know. And, yeah, and often they're, you know, they're in the middle of villages, churchyards, aren't they? They're, you know, they're not normally kind of...
This one's kind of out.
Yeah,
out,
it really is. It really is. But, yeah, I kind of... It's interesting, isn't it? You kind of think, is it a ghost? I mean, unfortunately with this one, this is quite a lot of science here.
Yeah, I don't think this was a ghost. And to be fair, they don't say it is a ghost. They say it's like a ghost.
Well, I don't know if you found this, but I was looking at another piece of quite recent research, which is, you know, they have those body farms. I think they've got one in America. I think, well, I don't think, I know. They've got one in Australia as well, because it's a different kind of climate, obviously. And they've just done a big project on... corpses moving after death, and so a team took photos of decomposing process of the body over more than 17 months and found that the remains appeared to move on their own. And they said, their quote is, "We think the movements relate to the process of decomposition as the body mummifies and the ligaments dry out." But these movements are actually quite big. We're not talking a twitch. We're talking arms flinging over. Wow. So you can imagine if you happen to be there
at that exact moment,
and you're looking at that, you know, kind of, or if you discover that body.
Well, I read about bodies in like being burned on like funeral pyres and things like that will sometimes like sit up, but it's because the heat from the fire, it needs to be quite a low heat, but that makes the muscle tendons contract, and so then you get this like kind of sitting up motion.
Gosh.
So that was one thing I was wondering, if it's warm enough. I don't actually think this, because I don't think it'd be warm enough, but if it was warm enough underground, if it was summer, if this was happening in summer rather than winter, could it get warm enough underground to like
lift?
And then if it's been in the graveyard, and almost like maybe like pushing up against the coffin, you take the coffin lid off and then it has that like a springing action.
Oh my word.
Maybe. It's fascinating. It's obviously completely morbid.
Yeah. But you can also see, again, where this idea of like revenants comes from, can't you?
Yeah, yeah.
If you saw something like that, you're not going to stick about, really, are you?
No,
you're not going to kind of think, oh, look, there you go.
Oh, yeah, it's just...
Yeah, and then I looked a little bit about revenants, so, you know, the kind of fact that you've got the fleshly ones, like vampires and zombies, and we just did a story about the Thetford vampire, and we've done one in the past. Do you remember the vampire, was it Winston or Haysborough, with a cake? He got buried with a cake?
Can't remember.
Yeah, he got buried with it. And there was one in the middle of Norwich.
I feel like it was Winterton.
Yeah, I think it was Winston Poisoner. And there was one in Norwich city centre who was buried with a brick in his jaw. So this is obviously something that's been happening. This, you can see where that comes from, can't you? That whole staking the bodies because they might move.
Yeah.
The whole brick in the jaw because their heads can turn. Or, you know, you can see it happening. Although whenever I'm with you and I think of vampires, I am just thinking of Colin from What We Do in the Shadows.
I started watching it again the other week because I love it so much.
So we have a thing where if anyone is boring us at any point, we won't be together. We definitely won't be together. And one of us will send the other one a picture of Colin from What We Do in the Shadows to denote that we are with somebody really, really boring.
Our energy is being drained.
Slowly drained away. And I guess that this one, if you were going to say it was anything, would be a ghost, wouldn't it? It would be, you know.
Yeah.
But again, it does stick with, you know, they come back if something's wrong. If they've either been killed or if they're, avenging. So basically, I guess, does anyone know of any ghosts in Corpus D? That aren't the other one that I've done.
Yeah, so this is, I was going to say, there is also the devil in Corpus D, which I think we might have talked about.
The devil's bowl?
The devil's dish.
dish, that's right.
Which is a depression in a wood called Mossy Mere Wood. It's actually a really interesting story. We might have done it. Have we done this
as
a podcast?
I don't think we've done it as a podcast, no.
Or maybe we should. Maybe we've
not done all the devil's various landforms.
No, maybe we should do that. Maybe we'll do an episode about the devil.
He's got loads of stuff, hasn't he?
Yeah, because this is a good one and I don't want to just...
Throw it away.
So all you need to know is there's the devil's dish. At Mossy Mere.
Corbisty is, you know, it's small.
Yeah.
But there is some creepy stuff.
I feel like it's underestimated for sure.
Going on there. And I really quite fancy going to the Bonfire Parade this year.
Yeah. Is it actually on 5th of November? Or?
Oh, the Saturday nearest to you. But do look up old pictures of Corbisty Parade because they had it going on then. Mm. They had like those mangle, you know, those turnip, the
mangle
Swedes.
Mangle Wurzels. Yeah. I used to be in a club called Mangle Wurzels.
Did you?
Yeah, what me and my best friend, like, she set it up. It was really cool. So it was the, oh, what was it called? I think we were the Mangle Wurzels for short, but it had a really long name. And she made me a little, like, membership card. But she'd set it up with her granddad, and he was, like, the sweetest guy. And he had, like, this old chicken shed that we made into, like,
the
clubhouse.
What did you do?
We just sat in there, and I don't know, I can't even really remember.
Sounds like this, then, basically.
Yeah, basically yeah, like this.
Like this.
She wasn't weird like us, though, but she's
really
nice. I
do love a carved Swede.
Mm. I did carve, they're really hard to carve.
They're incredibly hard to carve. I once carved loads with... my friend Rachel, who reminded me
my
the other day.
My friend was Rachel. My was club she? Friend was
oh
Rachel.
God. Well, this
and
is
Rachel. The mangle one.
Rachel reminded me because Raymond Briggs died this
oh,
week.
Yeah.
I loved so much. Not a relation, although I'm now going to start claiming he
yeah,
was because he's dead, so he
you
can't
really
sue
should.
Me. So he's my dad, and my uncle. Well, less anyway. He's really massively related to. He isn't. And I put up a picture of Fungus a Bogeyman, which still remains my favourite book
mm-hmm.
of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I love a bogeyman. And my friend Rachel sent me a message which I'd forgotten, which is that I forced her because I was horrible as a child. But she recorded me reading passages from Fungus the Bogeyman when we were probably about 7.
Aww.
So sadly, they don't. I mean, maybe I could recreate that for you at some point.
Maybe.
But there we go. But anyway, yes, I think sadly this is a case of science.
Yeah,
it's
but
a
it's a good
depressing,
story,
isn't it? It's a great story.
I hate it when
it's,
science figures
it's
out.
It's nice to be back, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good. I enjoyed this.